Today we're building a Reese patch from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and not just any Reese patch. We're building the kind of bass that belongs in jungle and old school DNB. Heavy, alive, a little nasty, and designed to be sampled, resampled, and reshaped into a real arrangement. The big idea here is simple. A great Reese is not just a big sound, it's a system. You want a solid mono sub, a moving mid-bass character layer, and a controlled widening strategy that gives you energy without trashing the low end. Indeed, NB, that matters a lot, because the bass has to work with chopped breaks, not fight them. So let's start clean. Create a new MIDI track, and drop an instrument rack onto it. Inside that rack, make two chains. One chain is your sub. The other chain is your Reese or mid layer. That split is the whole game. It keeps your foundation stable while letting the character move around above it. On the sub chain, load operator or wavetable and choose a sine wave. Keep it simple. Turn on mono. Keep glide very short or off completely if you want that firmer old school feel. The sub should be pure, centered, and dependable. If you're tempted to make it fancy, don't. The sub's job is just to hold the floor down. Now on the Reese chain, load wavetable or analog and start with saw waves. If you're using wavetable, pick a saw bass table or a basic analog style shape. Use two oscillators if needed, both saw based, with a small amount of detune. We're talking subtle movement here, not massive coarse wobble. Start around 5 to 14 cents of detune, and keep the unison voices low, maybe 2 to 4 at first. You want motion, not mush. This is where the Reese personality comes from. Those slightly detuned harmonics create beat frequencies, and that's what makes the bass feel alive under fast drums. It's that constant shifting energy that cuts through a jungle rhythm without needing a million notes. Next, shape the filter. A low pass or band pass can both work, depending on the vibe. If you want darker and more focused, low pass is usually the move. If you want more nasal aggression, band pass can be useful. Keep the cutoff somewhere in the range where the bass speaks but doesn't crowd the sub. A useful starting area is somewhere between 150 Hz and 1.5 kHz, depending on how bright you want it. Don't overdo resonance. A little can help the growl, but too much and the bass starts sounding thin and hollow. If you want movement, add a slow LFO to the filter cutoff, or to the wavetable position if you're using a more complex source. You can also use dual rate movement, one slow modulation for broad motion, and a second, faster one at a very shallow depth for subtle shimmer. That's a really good advanced trick. The fast movement should barely be felt. It should read as texture, not as obvious wobble. Now let's talk width, because this is where a lot of people accidentally ruin the bass. In DNB, the low end should stay disciplined. The width belongs in the upper harmonics, not in the sub. So after the synth on your Reese chain, add EQ8 or auto filter, you shape the tone, then add saturator for a little weight and attitude. Start with maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive. You don't need to crush it yet. After that, use utility or an audio effect rack to manage stereo width. A really useful method is to split the Reese into bands. Keep the low mid band narrow or mono, and widen only the high mid band. That way, your bass feels huge in the mix, but the bottom stays stable and club safe. If you want a quick stereo lift, you can use chorus ensemble very lightly, but keep it subtle. Low amount, slow rate, small mix. Think texture, not effect. And always remember this, if the widening changes the groove, back it off. Width should feel like space, not timing trouble. Now let's shape the envelope for jungle and old school DNB. The bass usually needs a quick front edge. Set your amp envelope with a fast attack, usually 0 to 10 milliseconds. Keep the decay fairly short if you want articulation, maybe 150 to 500 milliseconds. Sustain can be moderate or high for rolling bass, or lower if you want more of a stabby phrase. Release should stay controlled, maybe 50 to 180 milliseconds. This is where the rhythm starts to matter more than the tone. Don't just hold one long note and call it done. The bass should phrase with the drums. That's the Riedel bassline theory part of this lesson. Write a simple four-bar pattern using just two or three notes. Seriously, less is more here. Put a note on the downbeat, then let the bass answer the break in the gaps. In a 170 BPM jungle context, the bass can hit on beat one, then respond after the snare, or tuck in between the chopped break hits. In a roller, you might repeat a one-bar phrase and change just one note every two bars to build tension. A good old-school rule is this: let the drums own the transient drama, and let the bass own the sustained menace. If the break is busy, make the bass shorter. If the drums simplify, let the bass breathe a little more. Now we're going to add character. Use saturator, drum bus, or overdrive carefully to give the Reese some dirt. Not too much too soon. A classic Reese often sounds aggressive because of harmonic content, not just volume. So start with light saturation. If you want extra grit, push the mids more than the sub. That's a very important move. Band-limited distortion can make the bass feel nastier without destroying the foundation. If you're using drum bus, keep the drive mist. Boom can be useful, but only if the low end actually needs help. Overdrive can also be great, especially if you filter it so it focuses on the mid-range. The goal is to build a bass that sounds like it has history in it. A little grime goes a long way. Once the synth patch is feeling good, commit to audio. This is where sampling becomes a superpower. Create an audio track, set the input to resampling, and record 4 or 8 bars of your bass line while you automate a few things. Maybe the filter opens slightly into the drop. Maybe the saturator drive rises on the second phrase. Maybe the width expands during a fill. Maybe the detune gets slightly more intense in the second half of an 8-bar section. Record it, then listen back like a selector, not a scientist. If it feels right, consolidate it. Freeze or render it if needed. The point is to turn a good enough bass into something you can chop, reverse, slice, and rearrange. That resampled bass can become the basis for fills, transitions, and alternate endings. You can load it into simpler and make it playable. You can reverse little fragments. You can slice a tail and use it as a transition hit before the next drop. In jungle and darker DNB, this is huge, because the bass stops being a static preset and becomes part of the arrangement language. Now listen to the whole thing in context. Put your bass against the breaks. This is where the real test happens. The bass and drums should feel like one machine. If the bass disappears, don't immediately add more sub. Often the problem is mid-range placement. You may need more character around 200 to 900 Hz, not more low end. If the bass fights the break, shorten the notes before you start compressing harder. Leave air for the snare. Leave room for the ghost notes. Let the break breathe. That's another classic jungle move. The bass doesn't fill every gap. It leaves space so the break can hit hard. The emptiness is part of the vibe. From here, think in sections. Use the intro to hint at the bass with filters closed. Use the drop to bring in the full Reese and the break together. Use the next 8 bars to change something, even if the notes stay the same. Maybe the filter opens more. Maybe the stereo gets a little wider. Maybe the resampled version comes in with more dirt. Maybe you switch to a slightly different note length pattern so the bass starts talking differently. A good arrangement stays interesting without constantly rewriting the riff. Small tonal changes are enough. That's especially true in old school style DNB, where repetition is part of the hypnosis. You want evolution, not chaos. A few extra pro moves will take this further. Try ghost bass hits. Put in very low velocity notes just before the main hit so the line feels more human and pushes into the beat. Try alternating note lengths so one note is short and the next is a little longer. That creates a talking effect without changing the sound design. You can also shift the register. Keep one version lower for breakdown tension, then bring it back denser or slightly higher in the drop for lift. And definitely check the patch in 3 modes: solo, with drums, and in mono. Solo tells you whether the tone works. With drums tells you whether the groove works. Mono tells you whether the club compatibility is solid. If the width feels amazing in solo but weakens the mix, pull it back. Here's a strong mini challenge you can do right now. Build a 2-chain instrument rack with a signed sub and a detuned saw Reese. Write a 4-bar bass line at 170 BPM using only 2 or 3 notes. Make the bass answer a chopped break instead of sitting on top of it. Add saturator, EQ8, and utility to control tone and width. Then resample 4 bars of it. Slice the result and create 1 fill, 1 transition hit, and 1 alternate ending for bar 4. Finally, automate filter cutoff and width so the second half of the loop feels wider and more intense. If you can get that working, you've got more than a sound. You've got a playable DNB bass workflow. So the recap is this. Build the Reese from a clean sub plus a detuned mid-chain. Keep the low-end mono and the upper harmonics wide. Shape the envelope for rhythm, not just sustain. Use saturation and resampling to create old-school character. Make the bass interact with the breakthrough phrasing. And automate movement so the track feels arranged, not just looped. That's the playbook. Simple source, strong decisions, controlled width, and a lot of respect for the drums. That's how you get a Reese that really belongs in jungle and old school DNB.